Begin the current daf. Masech the Shabbos daf tzadi hey. Begin the mouth. Begin to taste the mouth. To begin the words of the Gemara. Hachaylev regarding milking. Shteis brings a proof that this brice is going according to Behuda, because the brice is taught someone that milks on Shabbos milks a cow is chayav b'chatas. Shteis explains that mishum dashu, the liability is because of the malacha of threshing. Just like Rashi explains, where that one is removing something from something that it was encased in. Which Tais explains the Asa Braisa Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, the Braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Amar he says Yesh Disha Shlebi Gduli Karka. Although there's a machlekes of those who hold the, you can only have threshing on things that grow from the ground, which excludes a cow. He holds that there is the Malach of Dash even with things that don't grow from the ground, because the Perishal El Bepek Lagolo we explain on the Ein Gimel base. And moreover, Tais proves this. He says Bechinir Lari. So it appears to the read the Vadik of Yehuda. We anyways have to say that the Braisa like Rabbi Yehuda. The reason for that is because in this brice it also mentions merabits, which is settling the dust in the room that you can mechayev achatos. That has to be like Rabbi Yehuda, because the asri chacham ribus mishum shavuos rabbanon hold it's only rabbinically forbidden. Well, Rabbi Shimon surely coming up like a tchila. Rabbi Shimon holds it even like a tchila. So obviously, who's this brice going like that says that that to be merabits is chayev achatos must be like a Yehuda, and therefore the other halach of chaylev is also going like a Yehuda, which again, like we said, is l'shitasai. That he holds that there is dish and begiduli karka, and that's the malacha of achayim. Ketimik says the masa that begins the words of Gemara Hamachabed Vamarabitz, the malacha of sweeping and of settling the dust. Tosfos explains what is the machlekes between Rabbanan, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shimon, because the Braisa brought that someone who sweeps a house or if he settles the dust zimichay b'chatz. Now on that Tosfos tame it's a wonder. Obviously, it has to be that it's not inevitable that when you're sweeping or settling the dust, that it's going to smooth out the holes in the floor. How is that obvious? Because the ipsik gresha, if it's inevitable, how could we quote later on? Rabbi Shimon says even initially one's allowed to go ahead and settle the dust because it's not intended. But Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's inevitable, even when it's not intended, that it's going to be forbidden. So obviously, that it's not inevitable. The problem then becomes, but keeping the lab of segregation, so if this is not inevitable, it's going to fill up the holes. Amai mechai Rabbi Eliezer chatos, then why does Rabbi Eliezer hold that you can mechai b'chatos? So amai b'perek omal amamun, he says, n'yumad av alam dalam ambeis, kebetzirif ashashi yois, which the Mishnah is discussing regarding a kohen gadol that's elderly or he's delicate, and it's hard for him to table on Yom Kippurim in cold waters on Yom Kippurim, which he has to table many times. So they would warm up for him the water by putting in this hot piece of metal that was heated from before Yom Kippurim, and they would pour it into the cold water that would take away the chill from that. And that's the Gemara asks, what do you mean? When you're putting this hot piece of metal that strengthens, it's called metzarif, and it's like a type of cooking on Shabbos. So that says the Gemara that the David Shein, the Ein Meskavin, something that's unintended, is mutal b'yehudim natar, even according to b'yehuda, he holds going to be biblically permitted. Only rabbinically, it's forbidden, but biblically it's permitted. Because the lehavim malachas machshavas, it's not a malachas machshavas, because a person's not intending to do this prohibited thing. So then we're back to the question. If it's psik reishe, how did Rabbi Shimon say it's going to be mutter? And if it's talking about that it's not psik reishe, then how could Rabbi Eliezer say you can be chayav achatas if we see that that's not the case, that even according to Behuda, who is the more stringent opinion, holds that it's going to be mutter? That's what says Vyashim. What you could say is the Baha Pligi, that actually it's in this idea itself, if sweeping is psik reisha, which is our Taisis' doubt, that's actually the machlekes in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer saw without psik reisha, he held that it was inevitable. Oh, inevitable, so that's gonna be awesome. Rabban Sabit Lava, the hell that's not gonna be inevitable, because you could be careful when you're sweeping that you're not fill up the holes, and if it's only rabbinically forbidden, because yes, if it's not intended, it's not gonna be biblically prohibited, it's only gonna be rabbinically prohibited. Then Taisus says, but then Bahad Amar, then this that the Gemara says, but you know, the Gemara concludes and says, but in the Sfira and Rabbi Shimon, now that we anyways rule like Rabbi Shimon, Shari like Ketchila, so it's going to be even permitted to go ahead initially, go ahead and settle the dust, because even the whole like Rabbi Shimon, that Davashin Meskabin is Mutter, so the question that Taisus is bothered by is that, what do you mean? But it could be that it's inevitable, so why would it be Mutter? That's what he says. Apagav the Epshad the Sabri of Shimon have a psikration, even though it's possible with Shimon himself. Maybe he held that it is psikration, the way Rabbi Eliezer says. But the Gemara, they hold the Rabbanim. The loyav of segregation is not inevitable. Oh, say hilka. Therefore, now that we rule like Reb Shimon, sure, like Yitzchila, so it can be permitted even initially. Keep in the covenant, Reb Shimon, since we rule like him, the division is coming in the mutter, and we hold. We don't know Reb Shimon holds, but we hold there's not segregation. Therefore, it's going to be permitted to sweep on Shabbos. Next, the master begins with the Gemara, but right, the chal is the bash. Someone takes down the honeycomb on Shabbos is also going to be chayav b'chatos. So I'm going to explain that we said that if you do it deliberately on Yom Tov, you're going to get, according to Eliezer, 39 lashes. How does one get lashes for this taking down the honeycombs? As Tais is being temelary, it's a wonder to the read. Amar lo, it could be Yom Tov Eliezer. Why according to Eliezer do you get lashes? Again, specifically asking the question on Yom Tov, which we said when we spoke about B'Shogi, we spoke about Shabbos. On Yom Tov, we said if you do it deliberately, you can get Malkus. How is it possible you can get lashes on Yom Tov according to Eliezer? And moreover, Tyson betresses the question. He says, Rabbanan, namely plegat. Even Rabbanan, they don't disagree to get their lashes. It's only because they don't get to the halacha, a malacha taking down the honeycomb. But if they did, then one would be chayav lashes. However, on this Tyson asks as follows. In the Mishnah, in the first parak of Megillah, the Dinah of Beis, it says, Im ben yom tov l'shabbos. There's no halachic differences between yom tov and shabbos. Eloichel nefesh b'lbat, only regarding preparing food. Yudomi says, no, even preparing the preparatory things, you're allowed to go ahead and do the preparatory acts of the preparation of food also on Yom Tov. Now, Gemara, the Gemara says, my time in the Kama, what's the reason in the Kama? That only what's Eichel Nefesh, the food itself, you're allowed to do that Malacha on Yom Tov, because Amakar, the Pasuk says, who levada yoslechem, only that itself are you allowed to do for you on Yom Tov, which who is saying an exclusionary terminology, and not the preparatory things. Yehuda, however, he says, yes, it says who, which is exclusionary, but it says lechem, which is inclusionary. So he learns it out that lechem is including mechshir yochel nefesh, and yehu is excluding. How is that possible? If it's preparatory acts of the food that you could have done before Yom Tov, yehu is excluding it. And here we're saying that if you could not have done from before Yom Tov, then the machshir yochel nefesh you're allowed to do even on Yom Tov if you cannot have done it from before Yom Tov. But one thing says Tais Machlal, but the inference is yochel nefesh, but the food item itself, shari b'yehuda full of efshim. B'yehuda holds, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov even had you been able to do it from before Yom Tov. It's only machshir yochel nefesh, that's only if you couldn't do it before Yom Tov. And Rabbanan Amad, Rabbanan also. Mashman d'leipigil, l'pligil machshirin. Sounds like that they only disagree regarding the preparatory things. But the food item itself, they agree, even had you been able to do it from before Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Then the question of Taisa is, so why is it forbidden to take down the honey on Yom Tov, even if that's a malacha? A malacha is permitted for Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov, even if you would be able to do it from before Yom Tov. But moreover, Taisa adds to the question, he says, because the Hach Brais is Rabbi Yehuda. We pointed out in the previous Taisa that this Brais is like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda himself is of the opinion, as we just pointed out, that the Eichel Nefesh itself, even if you had been able to do it from before Yom Tov, you can do it on Yom Tov, because only Machshir Yochel Nefesh has to be able to be done from before Yom Tov. Boyd moreover, Tais continues to ask, he said, in Perek Toil, and Megmor later on, the Kavalan Zayim, and based on Minim, we say, Jebel Yezah is subject of Yehuda. The Jebel Yezah holds like a Yehuda, and Radif from Yehuda. He holds even stronger than Rabbi Yehuda regarding what the Heterim on Malacha on Yom Tov. But Shari Afila Efshala Sesim Erev Yom Tov. And he permits, even if you could have done it from before Yom Tov. So then the question is, who's the time that we're discussing over here? It's Rebbe Eliezer. So he holds by Machshir, even had you been able to do it from before Yom Tov, you could still do it. So for sure, that's a difficulty. So why is the taking down the honey, which is Eichel Nefesh itself, forbidden to be done on Yom Tov? So Tais says, V'lechel Emeimim. He can't say to answer the question and say that the Machlikish of Eliezer and the Chum here regarding taking down the honey, if you're going to be Chayv Malkus or it's only Rabbinic, is the Mayer Bered L'Tzer Choyer. It's because the person who's taking down Yom Tov is only taking down because he wants it for the weekday. And that's where, okay, so then it's not considered for Eichel Nefesh. Maybe you could be chayiv for doing Yom Tov. Because then it says, no, they become Malkum, because still, Tikshay would still be a difficulty. Because Laman, the Islay Hoyel, according to one who holds what's called sins. What's the sins? Hoyel vi mekat lo archim, sins if guests would come. Then the halacha is, as Gemara brings Perkei lo even the Pesach of Mimbab Mabez, that you're allowed to go ahead and make, even if you're doing for the weekday, because if guests would come, it would be permitted. Say, also, if guests are going to come, you could give them from the honey that you took down. And it would be biblically permitted. And you would not be Chayav HaChatos. Vayi Morva says to his action, Rabbi Eliezer Gufei Yisrael HaSom Hoyel. Rabbi Eliezer is on record that he actually holds the concept of Hoyel. So therefore, why are you going to be Chayav, even if you're doing for the weekday? Since if guests would come, you'd be able to give to them. Why are you Chayav HaRoida for Chalas Devash? So remember he says regarding this question, he says, you actually could explain why that's not difficult. It's because Bereid Yisamach L'Chashecha. You could say that if the person taking on the honey right before it gets dark, right as Yom Tov is ending, where it's not fitting enough for guests because there's no more time for guests to come. Or you know, I mean, another approach is B'dvash Shehidvish. You could talk about honey that got ruined and you can't eat it. Or it's a type of honey that's forbidden to have benefit from it, to lechaz lachila, where you can't eat it. And like, for example, the honey of there was a sacrifice of Avodah Zarah. And if you don't have any more, the head to Baruch Nefesh. And that's why, according to Rebbe, you have Malkus, because, yeah, the taking down is Malacha, the Raisa. But me, Tamil Reba, one thing that bothers the Reba is as follows. Keeping the Mutal Legah Bein B'yam Tim Minat Torah, I feel the Efshah, since you're allowed to go ahead and make cheese. Biblically, as Tyson previously explained regarding Eichel Nefesh itself, you're allowed to do in Yom Tov. So it's even, even if you would be able to do it from before Yom Tov. So if that's the case, because only Machshir Eichel Nefesh has to be from before, but Eichel Nefesh, even if it was able to be before, so then Afilo Yehimut de Midrabon El Bilay Efshah, so even if you're going to say rabbinically, it's not going to be permitted. Only if you were not able to do it from before Yom Tov. But still, Imkain, if that's the case, then Nafal Beis Yom Tov. Today's going to draw an interesting parallel. Someone's house falls down on Yom Tov. You should be permitted to build this house in Yom Tov. Why? Because the Medrash Shehud Ben Yilat Tzarech, since you're allowed to go ahead and do building for a purpose, like we said regarding making cheese, because the Tzarech explained, the Megavin have Mishim Bain, the Kedam Mesamach. The Gemara surely tells us that actually Megavin is related to the Malacha of Bain. It's an act of building, of putting the cheese together. And we say that so you're allowed to do it for a tzarech of Eichel Nefesh. So that's what's called hutinam mishalei l'tzarech. So we say regarding the laws of Yom Tov, once we say it's permitted for Eichel Nefesh purpose, so then it's permitted even if it's shalei l'tzarech Eichel Nefesh, even if it's not for eating purposes. As long as somewhat of a Yom Tov need, which you do have in this case, where lechel b'tayichai, so that you can eat inside the house. Shalei kenosh b'shemesh, that you should not be affected by the elements from the sun and the heat outside. So then, about it. Why can someone not rebuild their house on Yom Tov? That's the Tzad Yishim. What you can say is the Asim Jabban. No, it's still rabbinically forbidden to build one's house. It's what's called a weekday type of activity. Just like there are certain things you're not doing Yom Tov, like merakid and tchina and grinding. So therefore, that would be the same thing regarding rebuilding a house. Although, yeah, regarding the malach itself, a binyan would be permitted. But regarding Obdin Dachal, it would still be forbidden. Next says the master begins the words of the Gemara. Shara zilcha b'machayza. He permitted the sprinkling of the water on the ground in machayza. Which is going to explain that why is there an issur of washing the floor of the azara on Shabbos? Because our Gemara brought from a meimah that he permitted it the sprinkling in machayza because all the floors were tiled, so therefore there's no more concern for smoothing out the ground. So it says Taisa's tamer to wonder. The b'shilu tamer nishchet tnan. The end of perek tamer nishchet. On the Samach Dal Med Aleph, we learned "Kemaseu b'chayil, kach maseu b'Shabbos," which is referring to regarding the Karban Pesach. There's a Gemara in Pesach on the Samach Dal that how they used to do the Karban Pesach on a weekday, so kach maseu b'Shabbos. That's how they would do it, even in falls of Shabbos. Elo, the one difference is Shakahana Madich Mesazara when they would wash the courtyard on the Erev Pesach that was on Shabbos. So that washing of the Zara of the courtyard was Shaloi B'Tzen Chacham. Was against the will of the sages. Now, the Gemara explains, what's the Shalei B'Tzen Chacham? What does it mean that against the will of the sages? Hanya Shalei B'Tzen Rabbi Eliezer means not according to the will of Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, because Rabbi Eliezer holds, as we bring here in our Gemara, that sweeping and selling the dust in Shabbos Chayav HaChatos, so washing the floor of the Azara violates that halacha of Merabitz. Because the Rabbanan, because if it would be like Rabbanan, it's actually Shmusu. So they hold, as we brought in our Gemara, they only hold rabbinically forbidden. Bein Shmos B'Mikdash, and we don't have rabbinic law as problems in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Tanya, and this idea, because we learned this in the Brisa, that the Chum say it's only rabbinically forbidden. So therefore, that must be when we're saying Shalei B'Tzen Chachamim meant not like Rebbe Eliezer. Now it says Taisus, when the Muki must need Rebbe Eliezer, from the fact that the Gemara there explains that the Mishnah over there is going like Rebbe Eliezer. The holds that the liability of Achatas of settling the ground with water. Mashmah sounds like the Mechayv Deraisa for the Bazar. Sounds like that they're comparing him to that Allah Chalavir. That he holds the biblical forbidden even in the courtyard. The problem is, the Ikka Ritzpa, the courtyard is also tiled. But Halcha Mashmah here, it sounds like the Ritzpa, like Ashavu Gomez, Agar, Mar brought from a Mamer, that there's no problem about smoothing out the grounds when it's tiled. So why would it be forbidden over there in the Azar? That's the thing. For some, what you could say is that the Hadacha, Ikar Shvuyi Gumas Tvei. There's different ways of settling the dust. When you're just sprinkling, yeah, that's going to be okay. But when you're doing a sponger, when you're washing out the whole floor, that's more of a concern of smoothing out the ground. Why is that? Because although it's tiled, but there's spaces between the tiles. Those grooves, they get filled up. And that would be a violation of Baina. But when you're just washing a floor, and you don't fill it up totally with water like they would do in the base of Middash, it would bring the canal and totally wash through, then there's no concern, like we're saying in our Gemara. Or you know, I mean, other approaches. That actually, you're right. Bazar nami lo asur b'liyazar el mishum mishavos. You're right. Biblically, since it's tiled, it's not forbidden. It's only rabbinically. Otu hechad leka letzba. But it's rabbinically forbidden azar because if there's no tiles, which tekechiv chazal b'liyazar, because if there's no tiles, then it is biblically forbidden according to b'liyazar. And as Tais explains, v'chama hay shavos, because didn't we say that there's no rabbinic prohibitions in the Beis HaMikdash? No, this rabbinic prohibition is stringent, and benoyga fel b'mikdash and nibbur applies even in the Beis HaMikdash. As Tais says, v'kama shavos ashkam b'mikdash, because actually we do find many rabbinic prohibitions in the Beis HaMikdash, b'perek baset erven, enough kum beizim and beiz. Now, but that's only according to b'liyazar. Abba Rabban, according to Rabbanon, wait a second, if you're saying shavos, then why did the Gemara there say it has to be like b'liyazar? It could be even like Rabban. This is Tais, no, l'chama hay shavos. This rabbinic injunction is not so severe because even according to them, even without a floor, it's only rabbinically forbidden. So in the Mikdash, it's not going to apply to the Beis Mikdash. According to Eliezer, it's one level, which is when you don't have the ritz, but it's biblically forbidden. So even when there is one, we're going to say the rabbinic is going to be in the Beis Mikdash. But according to Rabbanu, who say even without the ritz, but only rabbinic, so when there is a ritz, but they're not going to make that rabbinic itzer us or also in the Beis Mikdash. Now that we rule like Reb Shimon, sorry, I feel like it's permitted even initially, which Tosfos proves that that's only for the halacha of settling the dust, but not for sweeping. Because the Gemara brought that now holy Reb Shimon, so which he'll do the same as mutter. Oh, so these halachas that we spoke about settling the dust, that's going to be mutter even if one might smooth out the ground. Now, Bahag Shari Kibin Mahaitama, for this reasoning that the Gemara brings, because we're like saying like Reb Shimon, he says not only is settling the dust permitted, but even sweeping. And even if it's a broom made out of palm fronds, as one does normally during the week, it can be permitted because it's davar shein miskaven. You're not intending to go ahead and fill up the hole, and it's not a psikration. To which Taisa says, but that doesn't seem to be correct to the Reb. Because in the Gemara says that also a broom from day tree is also permitted to move. Uparach and the Gemara asks on him and says, wait a second, what do you mean you're allowed to move such a broom? If it's just moving it from the sun to the shade because you don't want it to get ruined, would that Reb Eliezer say that even such a broom one is allowed to go ahead and move? It's a klisha malach d'leiser. And klisha malach d'leiser, which you generally use for a prohibited activity, you're not allowed to move from mechama l'tzel. You're only allowed to use it, move it l'tzel, guvim mekame. Now, says Tais and Ashbet, sounds like the pshita like the lekam on the shari. When saying, wow, he would permit that, it's only again because no one that permits it. And then the filler of Shimon, who is the most lenient, from that malach d'leiser, because it's a vessel that its work is generally for something that's forbidden. And therefore, you cannot move it mechama l'tzel. So it says Tais, if you're allowed to use a broom to sweep, have malach lehet, it would be used for a permitted thing because it has permitted utility. Obviously, sweeping is also going to everyone. Why? Why is it different than what our Gemara concludes regarding settling the dust? It's different than just Ashwe Gumes. It's a different problem because you can be moving the earth from its place, and that's a problem about moving Mukhtza. And therefore, Reb Shimon only permits over here in Asugya settling the dust, which that doesn't have a problem because we said it's Dabashim Miskavin, but he would not permit sweeping with the broom. Tinek says the matzah begins with the Gemara of Reminu, but there seems to be a contradiction. Reb Shimon, he says, "Ein ben nakav b'chul." There's no difference between if it's perforated or not. Tais can explain what's the difficulty more from the brice on the Mishnah than in the brice itself. As we brought in the Mishnah, according to Reb Shimon, someone tears something from an utzitz on Shabbos, so the he's going to be potter, whether if there's a hole or there's no hole. So the Gemara asks on the Mishnah from the Braisa, the Reb Shimon says, there's no difference between Nakav and Nakav. The only difference is, Hechshezron Bilvan. Where then, if it's an Otz Nakav, it's not going to be a Kabul Hechsher for Tuma when water falls in it. So obviously you see that Otz Nakav is like attached to the ground. And therefore, the seeds inside are not Mekabel Hechsher but Mekabel Tuma, like something that's attached to the ground. So why does our Mishnah say that Otz Nakav is like something that's detached? On that place, it's Bavit, it says Tema. It's a wonder. Micah Parach, what's the most question? In the opening words of the Brisa, it says exactly like the halacha of a Mishnah. It's saying the idea that everything that has a hole is like it doesn't have a hole, which means that it's attached. Except, and it says what the exception is, except for the susceptibility of the seeds inside to become tumah. So the Mishnah itself already says, and the Brisa already says in the beginning, just like we say in the Mishnah. And if you're going to tell me the Gemara's question was, well then, on that point itself, Mishnah, Shabbos, Mechash, Zeram, why is the laws of Shabbos, let's say, different than the laws of susceptibility to tumah? And why by Shabbos do you say that there's no difference in Nakav and Nakav and by Hashem you do? But in the case, if that's the question, but Mishnah Tikshli Brisa Gufa. Forget about asking from the Brisa in the Mishnah. The Brisa itself is difficult. The Gemara should ask on the Brisa, Mishnah, Lakshma's Ram, Chashav Nakav, Kemuchubu. Why is the Brisa telling me? Regarding the susceptibility of the seeds inside. That when there's a hole that's like attached to the ground, well, in the Shadram, Chashav Kutalish, but regarding all other areas like Shabbos, we consider it as detached. So why asking specifically from the Brisa on the Mishnah? So my Rebbe and Tami says as follows. Says, Dalchim, this is the Gemara's question. Kivin Dilin Shabbos, since regarding the laws of Shabbos, Chashav Nakav, Kshen Nakav, you're telling me that from the Mishnah, that when there's a hole, is like that is no hole, I mean, it's like detached. Meaning, Avagav, Tabalukulu, Patu, even though that's a lenient thing in the exempt, when you're detaching, and the same thing we find Bechain Lenin Climb, Abzatan's Climb, in the seventh parak, we find the same idea that you're not going to have a problem of Climb, even as a leniency, we say that. Even as a whole, it's like it's not connected to the ground, it's like it's detached. So then the question is, said for sure regarding susceptibility to Tumah, Islam Lach Shuvah, according to the Mishnah, we should have considered that the Nakuv, Kshein the Nakuv, that when there's a hole, like when it doesn't have a hole, that it should be considered detached. With the Habalukhum, that's a stringency, because if it's detached, unlike Shabbos, which is a leniency, if it's detached, then the Halacha, then it could be susceptible to Tumah. And that's what the Gemara is asking, but about Brisa, Ketanin, the Brisa, we learned the opposite. We learned the Nokuv, when there's a hole, have a Kamuchubur, that it is considered attached, Lenin Hekshah Zroim, regarding susceptible to Tumah, She'ena Machshir, that does not make the seed susceptible to Tumah. So the Gemara, how it explains, as Taisei says, Mahachi Purush the Brisa, this is what the Brisa is saying, according to Rabbein Tam's interpretation. Ain bein nakuv l'she'ena nakuv, and the Brisa says it's no difference if it has a hole or it doesn't have a hole. What that means to say is the lechol mili regarding for all halachas nakuv l'she'ena nakuv shabbat, they're going to be the same, and that is vazlin lechomer. We're going to go stringently, meaning to the makom that betalish chomer. If being detached is stringency, then chashvina tarvay betalish. Then we consider both the nakuv and the ena nakuv like it's detached. We have a mechub chomer, but if being attached is the stringency. Like we're going to Shabbat climb, where if it's attached, then you're violating the Isser. So then, Chashvin Tavayu Kemachum, then we're going to consider both, Nakav and Ein Nakav, like it's attached. Ella, the one exception is Behech Zeram. Regarding the susceptibility of the food items to become Tameh, Deloy Echmiru Lach Shuvi Nakav Ketolish Kesha Ein Nakav. But there, they did not consider that which has a hole to be detached, like the one that does not have the hole. Elohuk Me'adini, rather that we go according to its, each it has its own halacha, meaning lechashib, kumachubur, that we consider the one with the hole, like it is attached. That's not going to be hoksh lekabatumah. But if that's the Gemara's question, then in our Mishnah, we see that the nokiv is kain, the nokiv even has a leniency, and the brisa we see, that we go stringently. So Taisa says, but tzachlem lefizeh, Shemafarshim explained Taisa, why is that specifically according to what he's saying right now. But being that has made, Taisa says, what you have to say according to this, that the Gemara is comparing, as we find in the Brisa, the Atzis Nakav to Ein Nakav L'chumra, the Ein Tarmin L'Rav Shimon Min HaNakav Al Peiris HaGedilim B'Karka. So according to Rav Shimon, you cannot take Truma from the pot that has a hole on the fruits that grow on the ground, because stringently we'll then say that the Atzis Nakav is like it's not attached, like it's Talish. And you cannot take from that which is Talish on that which is Mechubar. K'moi Be'Ein HaNakav, just like we say regarding if there's no hole, there's Lin L'chumra, because like we said, we go stringently. So that was one interpretation that ever been a tam in what the Gemara's question is, specifically from the Brisa on the Mishnah. Now the Re gives a different interpretation. He says, Dalchi Park, this is what the Gemara is asking from the Brisa. Reb Shimon says, "Ein bein nakum v'lisha in the nakum." The Brisa says that there's no difference between if there's a hole or no hole. Ela hechzron bulvah. The only difference is regarding the food item susceptible to tuma. Now, the kibin the gabi hechzron chashem nakum kamachu. But the Gemara's question like this: since regarding the susceptibility of the food to tuma, chashem nakum kamachu, we're saying that we consider if there's a hole, like it's attached. Avagam davalahakal. Although that is a leniency. She'ein mekabel heksher still was saying that it's not going to have heksher lekabel tumo like that which is attached to the ground. So this is the point. Shema mino, we can infer from that halacha that medaraisa chashav kamuchu, but must be biblically, we consider if it has a hole like it's attached to the ground. Why? Because the medaraisa chashav katolish. Because if biblically we consider it as detached, and heichav metarina lumen drabbanan, then how is it possible the drabban would go ahead and say it's tar for those seeds that grow in the atzis nakiv kish nakiv and tumo. When Tumah touches it, keeping the kibble hechsher, if you tell me biblically it's mekabel hechsher, obviously we cannot say that it's going to be tar. So obviously it's because really biblically we hold that it's considered like attached. Ah, the beginning of that's the case. How do you tell the bereish the brayse? It must be this. We learn the first part of the brayse that says in bein nakum tashen in nakum. There's no difference between a hole or no hole. A karcha. What you have to say is it means to say las hashneim kemuchubarim, because we're seeing that from the seifa that obviously we consider that when there's nakav kemuchubar, so we're saying if ein nakav is like nakav, must be that we consider even ein nakav also like it's attached to the ground. But loy lasa shneim ketlushin, and not to say that both of them are like detached, rather that attached. As we said, keeping the nakav chashav mechubar in the rice, since biblically we're considering it as a whole, biblically attached, ubechomili nakav ein nakav kemuchubar, and therefore means regarding all the areas of halacha, there's a hole or no hole, it's like it's attached. And that's what the Brisa says, chutz mehechzah shem b'lvah, except for the susceptibility of the Zrayim by that itself, with the Achmer Rabban, the Rabban was stringent, Letmuyi Kashayin Nakiv, to say that if there's no hole, that it's going to be considered that it could be Mekabel Tumah, because biblically, really, we're saying that it's there, it's going to be considered as Talish. So that's the difficulty. In Amish, we learned the opposite, we learned that regarding all the years of Halacha, even if it's Atzis Nakuv, it's like detached. Because we said if you detach from the Shabbos, you're going to be Pater. And yet here we see that regarding all years of Halacha, we consider it as a stringently, that it's going to be considered as attached. Now, that's the taste of a Hashem Mishan Mishapin. Now, based on the interpretation of the Ri, it makes sense what the Gemara answers. That, yeah, really every Reb Shimon considers that which grows in the Atzad Nakav like is detached. And therefore, if you on the regarding loads of Shabbos, you're going to be exempt. The one exception is regarding Hechzer's Ram. Why? Shalin the Tumah of the Halacha of Tumah's ability is different. Because the Hashem with the Kazrach on the Behedya, the Torah explicitly writes the Chashem Nakum Kemachuba. That if there's a hole, it's like considered attached to the ground. Because, like we said in the Gemara, that we would mamayit the susceptibility of Tumah, and therefore we're saying that even if it has somewhat of an element, we'll consider it as attached to the ground. Regarding everything else, we consider it as detached. Alochi part of the Masin and different Alochi Mishnah. When you tear from it on Shabbos, then you're going to be exempt. Now, but that actually says Taisa Avol Kashel Ela Perushim. But it's difficult for all these other interpretations, the Kama, that because the Gemara says in the question regarding the Halacha, the Mishnah, that when you're tearing from an Anshav, you're going to be Pater, the Gemara says, Alma Nakav Le Rishimin Kishayin Nakav Mashvili. That obviously Rishimin holds that when there is a hole, he considers it just like when you don't have a hole. And that's what the Halacha, the Gemara is asking from the Braisa. Problem is, from that word, Mashmit sounds like, from the word that it says Alma, sounds like the primary question of the Gemara on the Mishnah. That we see the Atzad Nakav is like Talish, the Ba'il Asui Mibraisa, the Lay Mashmi Nakav Jin Nakav. But it sounds like that as if the Gemara wants to say that from the Braisa, you see that we don't make Nakav like in a Nakav. But Vizainai, that's not the case. Because the question is not that we find the Braisa that we don't see Nakav as like in a Nakav. And the Gemara's question is that even though the Braisa does equate Nakav to in a Nakav, but still it's difficult, we see that biblically the Nakav is like Machuba, like Tais explains that it's difficult a little bit. The wording of the Gemara Alma sounds like it's asking on that point itself, which we're not really asking on that point itself, regarding that if Nakav was like in a Nakav. As this takes Vishlifarish, what you could explain is Dachikama. This is the Gemara saying. When it's asking for an Allah of the Mishnah, we said, HaToyesh Mendo, you're going to be Pater. It's Alma Nakav, Le Bishimon, Kshen, Nakav, Mashvele. That we consider, according to Bishimon, that when there's a hole, it's like there's no hole. And therefore, you're going to be Pater when you turn from it on Shabbos. And that the Gemara is very minor, but there seems to be chulu, etc., a contradiction from the Braisa, which is, because the Adrabba, from there we see to the contrary, she'ena nakav kenokav mashvile. In other words, that's exactly what Taisa said. The question is on those words, but not like as we thought originally that they're not the same. Rather, it's because it's the opposite. Instead of saying that Nukuv is like Eina Nukuv. The Braisa says Eina Nukuv is like Nukuv, which is that we see from our Mishnah is like Tolish, but from the Braisa we see that it's like Mechuba. Vayperish Ri, another interpretation from the Ri to explain the Gemara's question, is like this. This is what the Gemara is saying. The Braisa says, Ein ben Nukuv the Sheina Nukuv, there's no difference if there's a hole or there's no hole, which is Lenya Meiser or Pei or Maklein, but all these other halachas, for tithing, for Peya, and for the forbidden mixtures of the produce, which, that even if it grows on the Otzit Nukuv, you can be exempt from all these different halachas. Why? Because to keep in the Sibbah, who's Sa'at Chavu Karmachal, since in all these halachas says, your field, your vineyard, and the Chayim Meisik Sib, Sotin Loza Meisik, it says, Hayetze Hasad Shana Shana, that comes out of the field every single year. So we see that the Torah holds it can be Chayiv, only things that grow in the field, and not something that grows, let's say, in a pot, even if there is a hole. Still, Chashi B'Talash can be considered as if it's detached. Whether there's a hole or no hole. And that is, there's no difference between if it has a hole or not. Only regarding things of like Hechsher Tumma and all things that are similar to that. Kagain Shabbos, like for example, Shabbos, which that's not considered something that's like a field, like in those other halachas of Meister and Klayim and Peyim. Not depending, quote unquote, on a field. And rather, if it's detached or if it's attached. And in those halachas, we don't say that if there's a hole, it's like that it doesn't have a hole. And therefore, it makes sense, as the Gemara says, regarding the question from the Braisa on the Mishnah, that we said in the Mishnah, according to Mishnah, you're going to be exempt when you tear it from Atzim Nakuv, Alma Nakuv, the Rishim. So we see that, according to Rishim, if there's a hole, it's like there's no hole, meaning it's like a detached, even around the laws of Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is asking from the Braisa to Loi Mashvi Nakav, Ken Nakav, no. And this is what Tesis had originally asked on the other interpretation of the word Alma. No, we see that it's not comparing a hole to no hole. It's only regarding things that have to be a field. But regarding other things, like Hechter Zom, there is a difference between Otzit Nakav and Eina Nakav. So Tesis had asked the question, what was the Gemara's question from the Braisa on the Mishnah? The Braisa itself says, Rav Shimon's same concept of comparing Nakav to Eina Nakav. You can't say that the question is, so then, but why is there a difference for Hechsher Zom from all the other halachas? Then you could have asked on the Braisa itself. Why is the laws of Hechsher Zom different than all the places? Why are you asking it on the Mishnah? So, Benatam, his interpretation was that for the Mishnah, you could learn out that Nakiv is the same as Eina Nakiv, even for Hechsher Zom. And for sure, regarding the laws of Shabbos. Now, it sounds like from the Gemara, from the Braisa, that Otz is Nakiv and Sheina Nakiv, they're the same, and you go stringently. That where it's if it was detached, it would be a chumra, so we consider both of them as detached. If being attached to the chumra, like by Shabbos, so then you can be chayiv for tearing it out on Shabbos, achatis. And so, regarding Malkus, if let's say you plan to climb, we consider both of them as attached. Except for Hechsher Zom, we're not going to be stringent to consider the Otzit Nakiv like it's attached. They're going to consider like it's attached, and if it's not going to have Hechsher Tumah. That's the most question from our Mishnah that we see that Otzit Nakiv is like in the Nakiv, and has a leniency. The Braisa sounds like we go stringently. So he says, based on this, what you have to say is that according to Reb Shimon, you don't take truma from fruit that grow in the Otzit Nakiv on produce that grow from the ground. Because like we said, stringently, we say that the Otzit Nakiv is like a detached. Then Taisa brought the interpretation of the Ri. The Gemara's question is that since we learned in the Braisa, that regarding Hechsher Zom, we consider if there's a hole, it's like attached, even though that's a leniency. So we see that biblically, we consider Otzit Nakiv, like it's attached, because you're saying that this is regarding the biblical law. So therefore, we're going to say that the seeds that grow in the Otzit Nakiv are going to be tar when Tuma touches it, because since it's connected to the ground, so if it's not going to have Hechsher Tuma. So and then therefore, this will learn the ratio of the Braisa says there's no difference between Nakiv and Nakiv. Obviously, the intent of the Braisa has to say which direction, meaning that even the Otzit does not Nakiv is going to be like Mechubar, like the Otzit Nakiv. And not to make both of them as detached, because you told me already, Otzit Nakiv is considered biblically attached. So if so, comes out that regarding all halachas, Nakiv and Nakiv are like it's attached to the ground, except for Hechsher Zom. So that's the Gemara's question. In the Mishnah, we learned the opposite. We learned for grounding everything, even Otzit Nakiv is like it's detached, because we saw that if some detachment on Shabbos, you're going to be potter. So Taisa says, according to this, that what the Gemara's answer is it still Reb Shimon considers that which grows in the Otzit Nakiv like detached, and therefore you're going to be potter from tearing it on Shabbos, except regarding Hechsher Zroim, because the Torah there included Tahara regarding the Zroim, and therefore even if that it's regarding to that area of Halacha, that we're going to say that it's not. But regarding everything else, as we find in the Mishnah, he holds that it's considered as detached. But Tanya says it's still difficult according to these interpretations of Beit Tam and the Ri, because the wording of the Gemara's question, Alma Otzit Nokov, Shimik Shein Nokov, Mashvile, the word Alma sounds like that on that point, on that premise, is the Gemara's question. In the Mishnah, we see that Otzit Nokov is like it's detached, but in the Bryce, we see that Nokov is like Eina Nokov. But according to the interpretations, that's not the Gemara's question. The Gemara is saying that even according to Bryce, we equate Nokov to Eina Nokov, it's still difficult, because we see that biblically, the Nokov is like it's attached, like Tanya explained. Tais explained what you could say in the wording of the Gemara is that from the Mishnah we see that Nakav is like Eina Nakav, which means say that they're going to be like Talsh, and therefore you potter when you tear from it on Shabbos. The Brisa we see the exact opposite, that Eina Nakav is like Nakav, like Tais explained. From the Brisa it sounds like that they're both, that they're going to be as attached. And then Tais brought another interpretation from the Ri, that what the Gemara's question is from the Brisa is that we see from the Brisa that the Atzid Nakav is the same as Nakav regarding things like Meister, Pei, and Klein. That even though the produce that grows in the Atzid Nakav is going to be potter from Mais and Pei and Klein, because the Torah wrote over the terminology of Sade, of Kerem, and not something that grows in the pot, even though there's a hole. And therefore, the seeds are considered that they're detached, whether there's a Nakav or in a Nakav. And there's no difference between Nakav and in a Nakav only regarding like Hechsher Zroim, or things like that, like Meshavas, which is not dependent on a field, rather than just in reality. Is it attached or detached? And by them, if there's a hole, it's considered attached. According to that, that's the wording of the Gemara's question. In fact, you'll learn the Mishnah according to B'Shem, you can be exempt even if you tear from the Atzid Nakav. Obviously, according to B'Shem, if there's a Nakav, is like Eina Nakav, which is that according to Shabbat, it's considered detached. That's difficult in the Braisa, where we don't equate if there's a hole to not being a hole. Only the things that it says, Sada, but things like Shabbat, we don't. And that's the contradiction in the Braisa on the Mishnah.